Our text this morning is the verse number 8 of Revelation chapter number 1. Part of this verse you will find etched in the two windows on either side of our pulpit here in the meeting house. It says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Now, the book of Revelation is God's final word to His church. And the focus of this book is a revelation of Jesus Christ Himself. The penman that God uses here is the Apostle John, who had been banished to a small rocky island known as the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John makes reference to that in verse 9. He says, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." And there you see that God's people will always be persecuted by this evil and ungodly world because of their faithfulness to the Lord. And in the opening verses of this chapter, John tells us how the Lord Himself is the source. He is the fountainhead of every blessing to His people. Look at what John says about the Lord there in the middle of verse number 4. He says, "Grace be unto you, and peace from Him," that's the Lord, "which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits," that refers to the fullness, the perfection of the Holy Spirit, "which are before the throne." And every blessing that God's people have in life and will have for eternity, the source is from the Lord Himself. Then John also speaks to us here about the saints praising God and singing to the Lord because of their redemption. You have record of that great song there in the latter part of verse 5. And verse number 6 says of the Lord's people praising God, saying, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And how God's people are to praise the Lord and to thank the Lord especially for the great blessing of redemption. Then John also goes on to speak to us and tell us about the splendor and indeed the openness of the second coming of the Lord. You notice there in verse number 7, nothing will be secret or hidden about the coming of Christ. It says, "Behold, He cometh with clouds." And notice these words, "And every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Even so, amen. What a day that will be when Jesus Christ comes back again in power and in great glory, and every eye shall see Him who is King of kings and who is Lord of lords. And then in verse 8, our text this morning, you see there how John records the very words of Christ Himself, who says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." And in those words, you see there Christ declaring His deity. The fact that He is co-equal with God the Father in power and in great glory, as He Himself said earlier in John's Gospel chapter 10, "I and My Father are one." And by these words that He uses there in verse number 8, He describes Himself. He says, "I am Alpha and Omega." Those are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. In other words, there Christ is highlighting His fullness. He is highlighting the fact that He is without beginning and without end. Notice what He goes on to say in this great verse. He says, "I am the Lord which is," that's present, "which was," that is past, "which is to come." In other words, dear people, the Lord is one who surpasses all time. The Lord is one who is eternal. This is the one that we worship today. This is the one that we serve today. You notice also there that he goes on to say at the very end of the verse, I am the Almighty. There he tells us that he is the one who is all powerful. What a revelation here John had of Christ. Even when he was banished to the Isle of Patmos, separated from God's people, separated from the fellowship and the worship of God, yet God met with him. And he had a wonderful revelation of Christ. It was a revelation to encourage John, no doubt, and to spur him on in his Christian life. And he's penned it by the Holy Spirit for us in the Word of God. And it has been an encouragement to the Church of Christ down throughout the ages of time. And just as John and others in the past needed this revelation of Christ, so I believe God's people still need to see this tremendous revelation of Christ, especially today, especially in this evil and wicked age in which we live. And it's for that reason I want us then to consider this verse. And there are four things I want you to note about the Lord Jesus Christ here, who is the beginning and the ending of all things, who is the Alpha and the Omega. First of all, I want to say to you this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is the beginning and the end of all creation. Listen to what you read about the Lord Jesus in John chapter 1 and the verse number 3. It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And there you see that the Lord is the creator of all things. He is the maker of the entire universe, and he made it all in 6 days. He spake it all into existence. He made all the creatures of the world, and the Bible tells us that he made man from the very dust of the ground. The Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And dear people, this morning, as you think today of Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending of all things, remember this, that he is the creator of the world. He is the creator of the entire universe. And contrary today, what you might hear on the media, to what you might hear from maybe certain scientists or certain politicians or certain educationalists. My, this world did not evolve from some slime or from some big bang or big explosion millions of years ago. That is not true. My, this earth is a young earth. This earth was created by the Lord some 6,000 to 7,000 years ago. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Young people, boys and girls in the meeting in particular this morning, remember this from this pulpit, that evolution is a false religion. Evolution is a lie from the devil. It is of the spirit of Antichrist. And dear people, whenever you view the Lord as the great creator, my, you're reminded there about the greatness, the might, of the power of the Lord. As it says in our text this morning, he says, I am the Almighty. He created this world, the Lord. But you know, as well as creating this world, he also upholds this world. He also sustains this world by his power and by his wisdom. In Hebrews 1 verse 3, it speaks of the Lord there and says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. And people, this is something you need to bear in mind today, especially in this day when there's so much talk about the green movement or the green agenda. My, the underlying agenda of the green movement is anti-God. Why do I say that? Because it speaks as if man is in control of the world. It speaks as if man is the master of his own destiny. It speaks as if man is upon the throne of the universe. And my, as far as the green movement is concerned, dear people, God does not exist. That's the underlying agenda of the Green Movement. Their agenda is that God does not exist. That such thinking is all about promoting a godless society. A society without God. Its agenda is all about promoting laws that are contrary to the Word of God and contrary to the Bible. And that is one of the reasons why you have such a rise today in the awful sin of sodomy and abortion. Dear people, God is on the throne. Make no mistake about that this morning. And He will preserve this world right to the very end of time. To that moment when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again in power and in great glory. And then the Lord will destroy the world in judgment and the wicked. And He will judge this world. He will punish this world for its sin. And then He will usher in a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness for all His people to live in forevermore in everlasting life and glory. That's the message of the Scriptures. Turn your Bible over to 2 Peter chapter number 3 and you'll see that very clearly for yourself. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 7. It says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word," that's the Word of God, "are kept in store," notice it, "reserved until fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men." And that speaks of the end of time when Christ comes. Look at verse number 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Verse 12, "looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being in fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise," God's promise, "look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." And as the Alpha and as the Omega, dear people of creation, the Lord is the creator of this world. He is the sustainer of this world, and He will preserve this world to the very end of time, to when the day of Christ takes place, when Christ returns. And then He will destroy this world in judgment, pour out His wrath upon it. He will usher in a new heavens and a new earth. Dear people, Christ, the Alpha and Omega, is the beginning and He is the end of creation. But notice secondly this morning that as our Alpha and Omega, the Lord Jesus Christ is also the beginning and the end of redemption. Turn over a wee bit from our text to Revelation chapter number 5. And the verses 9 and 10. And look at what you read there. Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. Here you read of the saints in heaven. And it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And their mention is made of the saints of God in heaven. What are they doing? They are praising the Lord for their redemption. And in all those words you see that they ascribe their redemption and all the blessings that they enjoy in redemption, they ascribe it all to the Lord. As it says in the little book of Jonah that salvation is of the Lord. Oh dear friend, in our meeting this morning in love for hell-deserving sinners like you and I, Christ, the sinless Son of God, He came down from heaven's glory. He came into this sin-cursed world and He willingly went to the cross. He willingly died upon the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. Paul, speaking of Christ, said, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." The Bible speaks of Christ and says of Christ, "For He died the just for us the unjust, that He might bring us to God." By that atoning sacrifice, He made a way of redemption from sin and from hell for all who will repent of their sin. and all who will trust him as their Savior. And child of God, this is what Christ, the Alpha and the Omega of your redemption, has done for you and all God's people. In love and mercy for your soul, dear believer, Christ shed his blood as a ransom to God. And by faith in Christ and his sacrifice, your sins have all been forgiven by God. You've been brought into the family and the kingdom of God, and you've been afforded a place in God's heaven one day. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And dear believer, in the meeting this morning, let me say this. This is something to rejoice in every day of your Christian life. No matter what the adversity is, no matter what the circumstances or the trial is that you are facing, you can rejoice in the Lord and in his redemption for you and toward you as his child. This is what Habakkuk the prophet did. Habakkuk lived for Christ in very ungodly, trying, difficult times. Yet he said this, and listen to his words in Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 18. He says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength." Habakkuk knew what it was to rejoice in the Lord, even in days of trial and in days of adversity. And this is something, dear child of God, for you to rejoice in. No matter what's happening in your life or happening around you, you can rejoice in the Lord's redemption for you. And my, your redemption, yes, is something to rejoice and something to thank God for, but it is also something to share and to tell with others. The psalmist David said, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Tell me, child of God, when did you last testify and speak to someone of what God in Christ has done for you in redemption? This is something we should be eager and desirous to share with others day by day in society. Maybe I'm speaking to one in the meeting here this morning and you're not saved. Friend, if you are to know the forgiveness of all of your sins, if you are to know peace with God, your Maker, if you're to know the presence of God in your life, if you're to be saved from a lost eternity in hell and to be sure of God's heaven, then now in time you must repent of your sins. Turn by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to him. Thank him for dying on the cross for you and ask him in faith to save you, to wash away your sins by his precious blood that he shed upon the cross. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." My, this is the only way, I tell you, that you can partake of the blessings of redemption. This is the only way that you can know Christ alone, being the Alpha and the Omega of your redemption. Yes, he is the beginning and end of creation. He is the beginning and the end of redemption. But thirdly, this morning, I want also to say that Christ is the beginning and indeed the end of the Christian life. You listen to what Paul said to the believers in Philippi. In Philippians chapter 1 and the verse number 6, he says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ." And there Paul was encouraging the believers in Philippi that the Lord who had saved them would not desert them. He would not cast them off. Oh, child of God, in saving you, the Lord will not desert you. In redeeming you, the Lord will not forsake you. He will not cast you off. Rather, by his grace, he will sustain you. He will keep you. He will enable you to live for his glory. In the book of Hebrews 12 and verse 2, Christ there is described as the author and the finisher of our faith. Think of what you read in verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 5. It says there that he is the one who is the author of eternal salvation. And Paul was writing to the believers in Thessalonica. He said, "Faithful is he that calleth you." God will be faithful to all of his redeemed children. In the book of Jude said to God's people, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Child of God, understand this truth in the meeting this morning. There is no such thing as you being saved today and being lost tomorrow. God's redemption is an everlasting work. Listen to what Paul says in Hebrews chapter 9 and the verse number 12. He says, "By his own blood he obtained eternal redemption for us." Turning your Bible back to John's Gospel, the chapter number 10. Look with me please at verse 28 and verse 29. Here the Lord Jesus is speaking to all his redeemed people. Not just the disciples, but every redeemed child of God to the end of time. And he says, "I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Oh, dear child of God, your salvation, your redemption is doubly sure. Why? Because you're in the hand of Christ. And you're in the hand of God. No matter what comes in life, no matter what attacks you in life, or any of the forces of darkness, not even death itself, dear believer, can separate you from God. That last great enemy cannot separate you from Christ. You remember what Paul says at the end of Romans chapter 8. He says, "Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Notice finally here this morning from our text that Christ is the beginning and the end of the church. He is the Alpha and the Omega of his church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." No matter what happens in this world, Christ will build his church. He will sustain his church. He will advance his church. He will protect his church. In the book of the Revelation, John speaks of the church triumphant in heaven. He says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues and tribes and nations." That is the church triumphant in heaven. And dear people, as this world comes to an end, yes, the attack of Satan and all the forces of Antichrist against the church of Christ shall be great. But the church of Christ will remain. The church of Christ will prevail and be sustained and be extended until that very moment when Christ appears in power and in great glory. Turn your Bible back to Psalm number 46. Look at this great psalm all about God's preservation of his church. Look at the words of the psalmist there in verse number 6. He says, "The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, and the rage of the heathen, the rage of the ungodly, the rage of Satan will intensify as they know that their time is coming to an end, as the world comes to a close." But will God desert his church? Will he forsake his church? No. Look at the preceding verse, verse number 5. "God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early." Look at verse number 7. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah, this is something to stop and to think about, dear Christian, and thank and praise God for. God is in the midst of her church, his church. And she shall not be moved. And God shall help her, not right early. Why? Because Christ is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end of his church. He will not forsake his church. He will not cast it off. He cannot do that. He is married to his church. He shed his life's blood for his church. And my, he will not forsake his church, his own blood-bought bride. Child of God, the triumph of Christ's church, surely it should encourage you, dear believer, today to be up and doing in the service of Christ. The Bible says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Dear Christian, the Lord has called you to his kingdom for such a time as this. Therefore, believer, be faithful and fervent in prayer. Be faithful and fervent in evangelism. Be faithful and fervent in standing for the truth of God's word. Be faithful and fervent in supporting God's work here in Markham Hill and further afield across the nations of the globe. Christian, follow the example of Paul. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You think of what the hymn writer says. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. O child of God, may this be your testimony. May this be our testimony as a congregation. Resting not upon ourselves, for we are hopeless in and of ourselves. Resting upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Alpha, the Omega of our faith, the one who is the beginning and the end of all things. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us here in Thy house this morning. Take the great truths of Thy Word that we've been considering and write them indelibly, apply them effectually by the Holy Spirit to all of our hearts. Help us, Lord, as your people to realize that our Savior is one who is Alpha, who is Omega, who is all the fullness of God. Lord, thy word says ye are complete in him, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Help us to rest upon Christ, to serve Christ, to live for Christ, until that great day, O God, when thou dost come, or call us home to glory. And should there be any in the meeting this morning not saved, O God, let them not leave unsaved. But O, may they come today and trust Christ and rejoice in him as their Alpha, as their Omega, as the beginning and the end of their redemption. Bless us, Lord, as we bring this meeting to a close. Bless those who gather around the table. For any who cannot stay, give them traveling mercy. Speak on while the voice of man is silent. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen.